Take me to your artists.
Hey there, hi there, ho there, lady and gentleman. Only because I don't believe there's more than three people that listen to this thing. So this is episode number 9, and I feel like I've learned a couple of things that I need to work on, and a few things that I would like to incorporate into the program, if you will. I'm using the air quotes, but with this being a podcast, you can't really see the air quotes, so that was kind of a moot point, especially to even go back and explain. But anyway, so for today's show, I have information about Shakespeare Three Ways, how that's going, some thoughts about Breaking Up Is Hard to Do, and a review of the Golden Apple cast recording, which is rare, as well as a look back on what I've done and what I would like to do and how I can best achieve accomplishing that, I think. Basically, setting up a game plan and letting you guys know what the ideas are, and hopefully you will hold me accountable for sticking to what I say I'm gonna do. So, let's get started, shall we? Well, howdy do, y'all. So, I'd like to first say thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this little itty-bitty tiny work of love that I put together, however infrequently I do it. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, I bid you welcome and thank you. If you've listened to a few others before, then even a bigger thank you for sticking with me through episode 9, which is this one that you're listening to now. Yay! But I have a feeling that this is going to be a turning point in where episode 10 will now truly take the form of what I'm hoping to create. And so for the people who have been with me since the beginning, I cannot tell you how much your support has meant to me over these past few months. I cannot thank you all enough. With that all being said, I'd like to take a moment before I go into the review, and I just want to say that I sort of celebrated a birthday last week, and just have to once again say thank you, a massive thank you actually, to everyone for the great birthday wishes, the many, many laughs, and the awesome new knitting book that I got from my pals Sarah and Brian, and also for the insane conversations that happened during the course of the entire weekend. I did spend some time on Saturday and Friday building sets for Shakespeare Three Ways and hanging out with Craig, who was the author of the play. And he is incredibly friendly, and he found a very, very rare recording of a show called The Golden Apple. Now, I ain't never heard of such a thing, but it is one of the oddest yet charming shows that I've ever heard. And for those who've never heard of it, like me, the show's plot is basically what you would get when you place Homer's The Odyssey and The Iliad, those two major poems, into America's Northwest at the start of the 20th century, I believe it is. The show is written by a John Latouche and composed by Jerome Maras, and it was directed by Norman Lloyd. Now, because these are names that I'd never heard before, I decided to do a little bit of research on BroadwayWorld.com to see what their past track record was like, and this is what I've come up with. In 1964, John Latouche was in the show Folies Bergère, and he played a mannequin. And that is, so as far as I can tell, is the only actual stage performance that he has done. But he has several writing credits under his belt. A few of them are The Ballad of Baby Doe, Ballet Ballads, Banjo Eyes, Beggar's Holiday, Cabin in the Sky, and The Lady Comes Across. Again, all of these are shows that I've never heard of, so I have got my work cut out for me to see what all these are. The next thing I found was that for Mr. Jerome Maras, he has written 4 shows, the first one, of course, being The Golden Apple, the next one, Ballet Ballads, The next one, gentlemen be seated, and finally taking a chance on love. Again, do I know them? No. Have I ever heard of them? No. Have any of you heard of any of these? If you have, let me know, so that way I know that I'm not losing my marbles, and this is just cast recordings that, you know, were never released on compact disc or anything. Here's something I found really weird. When I was looking up Norman Lloyd, he only has 2 directing credits. He is still alive and still kicking, and he, aside from The Golden Apple, he did a show called Madam, You Will Walk. And even though he only has 2 directing credits under his belt, he has several credits as far as stage performances go. It looked like he was actually in Madam, You Will Walk. He played Mr. Dockweiler, and I have no way, again, all of these are, well, most of these are shows I don't know. But he's done King Lear. He's also done Julius Caesar. As far as musicals go, it looks like Village Green, Liberty Jones, Power, and Noah. A whole bunch of these I haven't never heard of. So I'm kind of intrigued to see what's what, and can't wait to kind of dig my fingers even further into this little pie and see what kind of delicious goodies are baked inside. But anyway, back to The Golden Apple. I think part of what the issue is with this cast recording is that many of the songs are missing. As this is supposed to be entirely sung, this show, there should be, I feel, a disc that was dedicated to each act. You know, kind of like the Rent, like the way Rent is and Phantom of the Opera. But unfortunately, double albums were few and far between back then, and let alone that it was a cast recording, so that was even rarer. This show was, I think it was recorded in 1954, to be exact. And to fill in a lot of the missing songs, there were short narrative rhymes that were created, and Mr. Jack Whiting did them on the spot at the recording studio. As you listen to the show, you should, and you know, should you be so lucky and get the chance, keep the last part in mind. The songs are so different from one to the next that on the first listen, it's actually kind of jarring and distracting. But then once you get over that little tiny issue, you can find the humor in not only the ridiculous things that are being sung about, but also the, I use this term loosely, subtle innuendo that is all over this disc. All in all, if you like quirky old musicals, you gotta get this recording. So thank you, Mr. Craig, for letting me listen to this gem of a show. I love it. It's fantastic. I'm gonna play a little song for you because my throat is a little dry and I need a drink of water. So I will be right back after this song.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how, alas, poor Yorick's jokes drew groans. He'd dance and sing and kiss my hand like Elsinore was Neverland. But then he went and joined the Skull and Bones. And now, Horatio, I get shivers with every line the ghost delivers. All the globe has been dark, 'cause something rots in Denmark. I can't recall a thing as weird as when dear old Daddy reappeared to say that he'd been poison-eared the day King Hamlet died. So to be or to choose not to be, that's the question I'm digesting in my soliloquy. And when fortune aims its slings and arrows at me, tell me how I'm gonna live through Act 3. Answer please iambically. Did you like Shakespeare in love? And did you rewind for scansion of Gwyneth with her wardrobe gone? Now do you believe in English lit? Is brevity the soul of wit? If so, then why's this bloody place so long? Well, I know this role has real cachet for each Branna and Olivier, and Mel Gibson draws blood nice. Man, I dig that passion measured a price. I was a young Great Dane in British schools with my pet Ophelia and a dad who rules. But I knew we'd been played for fools the day King Hamlet died. So here's the question: to be or choose rather to be, suicidal or to idle apathetically? Or is volition all it's cracked up to be? If to die, to sleep, to dream is lovely, please explain the question to me. Less than 2 months since the obit ran, and Lord knows frailty, thy name's woman. My dumbass uncle wears dad's ring. So I set the stage for a royal sting. What a script! I thought the play's the thing where I'll catch the conscience of the king. Oh, and while the king enjoyed the show, the players showed him whack his bro. The king stomped off and cried, OJ yelled homicide. So let's make a deal, Queen Mother, who is behind curtain number two? How now, a rat? I sliced him through the day Polonius died. I was thinking, to be or to go with plan B? Is it nobler just to soldier on Shakespeareanly? Or to fly off to the undiscovered country? Thus my conscience makes a coward of me. Get me to a fun nunnery. Hanky panky, nope, Ophelia's cranky. Could she be ticked that I nailed that Yankee? Or maybe 'cause I knifed her dad? She shouted,
foul,
in her wrath.
You'll never tread on my primrose path.
Guess my joke about country matters made her mad. Now the nymph went nutso north-northwest, went and took a swim, completely dressed. She sank just like a ship. So here's the moral, skinny dip. Poor Laertes missed his tour de France, but Mare, this ain't no cheap romance. Ask Guildenstern and Rosencrantz the day Ophelia died. I kept on thinking, to be or to other than be? That's the question. Screw depression, death sounds painless to me. This tooth too solid, flesh should melt, melt like brie, and resolve into a fondue for me. Serve it with some crumpets and tea. Oh, and there we were all in one place, equipped with poison, swords and mace, with fortune there to shape our ends. Come on, fence me nimble, fence me quick. Don't tase me, bro, with your tainted prick. Or bet your royal ass we're foiled again. But Laertes and I both got poked. Mom drank some Chinese lead-based coke. The king was SOL. Thus sends his sword to tell. I said,
my name is Hamlet Jr., guy. You killed my dad. Prepare to die.
Yes, I stole that from the prince's bride the day King Claudius died. Here's the question: to be or choose alternately? That's the question I'm processing in scene one of act three. To end these shocks or bear them heartachingly, quoting sonnet number 73. That one's too depressing for me. I met a girl named Juliet, and her boyfriend whose name I forget. What's in a name, man, anyway? I led Othello to his death, and made life a bitch for King Macbeth. Till the bard said, dude, you're in a different play. So meanwhile back at Elsinore, a bunch of guys come to mop the floor. It's Fortinbras's legions. I guess we're now Norwegians. And the three cold stars I rile most
Laertes' mom and King Claudius went off to hang with Daddy's ghost the day Prince Hamlet died.
I see dead people.
Obviously, this song is a send-up of Don McLean's American Pie, but it featured Mr. Robert Lund, and it was called Shakespearean Pie. The band name is called The Fump, F-U-M-P. I've never heard of them before, but I have to say thank you so much to the PodSafe Music Network for having this quirky little number on your site. It's great, and it ties in perfectly with what I'm about to talk about next. Now, I don't know how many of you saw my Facebook post about the first run-through being brutal. And I say it lovingly, it was a little rough, to say the least. So let's talk about it. The rehearsals for Shakespeare Three Ways have been incredibly difficult to document with pictures or even audio because I am so busy trying to find and focus on what I need to do to put forth my best work. But what I can tell you is that we had the run-through, and it had a small audience, which basically consisted of the crew and the lighting designer. And I just kept thinking for them was, oh my god, you guys, I'm sorry this feels so long. The good thing, though, on the flip side of that, is that I have to admit, with having them there, it helped us find where some of the issues were. And I, for one, am honestly super grateful that we actually stayed really late that night and worked through 90% of what those issues were. And I think once we solidify the changes, I think we're going to have a really strong show. What I find really cool is that my fellow actors, Beth and Craig, they bring such a cerebral energy to the rehearsals that I get intimidated sometimes. And listening to the way they analyze their scripts is fascinating, and oftentimes it leads to things I didn't read into during some of the exchanges that we throw back and forth in the plays. And finding the balance where I'm not crossing the line into farce, that's been troubling and difficult. Add to that, there is a scene in the second play that I have to play stalker and add sexy to that, and those are two words that you will never ever use to describe me. I'm clumsy, dorky, and clownish, and I mean, talk about acting, huh? So somehow between now and the 15th, I've got to figure out how to do the sexy look and learn seduction. Hooey, as if I don't have enough to do. Yikes. You know, I'm really missing musicals right now. But, you know, just now that I'm thinking about it, maybe I can just think of it as like an interpretive dance or something. I wonder if that would help. The other part of the problem is that we've only had one rehearsal a week to work on the first play, and once every other week to work on the second play, and I think a minimum of two nights each week would have been immensely beneficial. I mean, I think in all, we've had 11 rehearsals, I think, before opening night, so that's been really, really difficult. So, just to recap, my homework for Tech Week is that I've got to pull back a bit on the clowning around and find the sexy in the second show. I think my face is going to explode. You know, come and see me try and be sexy. That'll surely make for some great, great comedy. For now, that's enough about Shakespeare. Let's actually talk about West Valley Loud Opera's Breaking Up is Hard to Do. Now, the show seems to have hit its stride, and with weekend number two in the books, I think I can honestly say that I really, really hope that the ticket sales pick up. Now, it's a fun and funny show intended for those who are looking for a little escapism, which in a world like ours, is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. During the opening night reception, I was actually lucky enough to talk to several people, and not everybody's interview was as clear as some others, so there are a few that I can't play for you, but I do have a few little snippets that I would like to play for you now, so that way you know that it's not just me who thinks that this is a really solid, cute little show. I tried getting a hold of the producer, Sergio Peña, for the show, but apparently he doesn't really like to be interviewed. Although I don't understand why, because he is a very dedicated man to the company. He's produced 5 of the last 6 shows back to back to back to back to back. So, I mean, clearly he does enjoy what he's working on. And Chris Dudley as well, another producer that is constantly putting so much energy and time and love into every show that she works on, which is almost all of them, because she wears so many different hats throughout the entire season. So props to them. I don't know if they so much like to be interviewed, so I wanted to give them a nice kudos as well.
What are you broadcasting? Or where are you broadcasting?
This is my card. You can have it.
But I have to read.
Well, you can keep it. I've got plenty. Okay. But basically what I do is I feel that there's not enough promotion going on for any of the arts.
Yeah.
And so definitely not here. So what I try and do is I try to go to as many theater functions or art openings as I possibly can and try and get the word out to come see shows. So I try and take pictures and they...
Well, you know what, I'm surprised because we come here, we have season tickets.
Okay? Oh, do you?
Yes. And tonight, this is the first time I can remember that there were so many empty seats.
Yeah.
And usually,
Jim,
we've gone for years and years. I never seen, and I don't know why, but I'm really shocked to see so many empty seats.
Well, it's mm-hmm. not a known play either.
Well, but people have seen some tickets.
Not a well-known play.
That's very true. Very true. I think part of the fact has to do with a lot of times people only come see the show when they know people in it.
Yeah.
And there's only 7 people in the, 11 people in this show total. So I think that might have something to do with it as well.
You can tell that there are people really excited, and you knew that they had to be friends of the people up on the stage.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
They got so excited.
I think it's the weekend, and it is not a well-advertised show.
Absolutely.
And that makes a big difference, because many people will take a look at the show that is playing, mm-hmm. and if they recognize the name, then they'll want to see it locally.
Right.
But the local shows here are far better than many of the shows that you see, even in San Francisco. We used to go to San Francisco many years ago. When I was in high school, mm-hmm. I was a thespian.
Yay!
A true thespian. Like my wife was tonight.
Well, I'm surprised so many came up to me after the show and thought, oh, you look so natural up there. Like, was it part of the show? Even somebody said, was this part of the show? And I said, no, this was a total surprise.
How did you feel up there?
Fine.
Yeah?
Gosh, there was nothing to it, you know. The only thing, when he started singing, he said, sing, I can't sing. Well, I can sing them.
Did you know the words to the song?
Sweet 16?
Yeah.
No, not really.
No? Oh. Did you feel nervous at all? Because so many people are so afraid of being on stage.
Being me, and if somebody would come up and tell me, oh, somebody's going to get you up on the stage, and I said, oh, no, I don't like. But I got up there, I don't know, there's something up there, something magic or something, because I felt very much at ease. But then I didn't really say anything anyway. I thought it was just so cute the way this was, Sweet 16, if they really know how old I am.
You look great.
I'm 81.
No.
And I'll be 81 the 2nd of July.
Well, I wish you a very happy birthday next week. And it was an absolute...
Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Are you 21 now?
I wish. I appreciate you guys so much taking the time to chat with me and to actually come and see the show. And I am so glad that you guys are theater people.
We live fairly close by, so it's really nice. It's easy parking, and you know, you know, when you used to go to San Francisco, oh, it's always a trouble finding a place to park, and you have to drive all the way up there. Here we live about, 15 minutes away, or something like 10 minutes away. So it's really very nice, and we come here for years.
People should know that both groups that are in Saratoga here are far beyond many professional shows that I have seen previously. I say that in all sincerity.
Oh, wow.
We have a phenomenal group of people here in amateur theater that really take it to heart and do a phenomenal job. And if anybody wants an inexpensive evening, they should come here to the Saratoga West Valley Light Opera or South Bay
Musical theater
now that they changed the Saratoga Drama Group to.
Like I say, they really enjoy what they're doing, and I think that has a lot to do with it too.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, it shows. Thank you again so much for chatting with me. I appreciate it. Hi, I just wanted to get your feedback on how you thought the show went.
Well, it was really a standing ovation show. I didn't get to stand up. I was in the front row, and I looked behind, but it was kind of too late at that time. But this performance really deserved that. It really did.
You should have stood up.
It triggers everyone else, you know. But because I was in the front, maybe, I hesitated. But I think the performers could see that. They know what a good audience it was. You know?
Oh, yeah. They were fantastic tonight. They were on fire.
Let's face it. It's a good musical to begin with.
Oh, yeah.
But the pairing of the cast, it just comes out so beautiful. So perfect, really.
Well, thank you so much. I'm glad you liked it. Are you feeling okay? Was the show good for you, even though you were sitting on that plane for a while?
I was a bit in shock, you know. It was just like suddenly landing and then seeing this wonderful production.
Thank you so much for giving me your feedback. I really appreciate it.
What? Oh, no. Are you official?
Yes, I'm official. Miss Lisa Milanis, I would like to get your thoughts, if you will, on how the show went today.
I thought it was fabulous. It's a wonderful story, and everyone enjoyed it. I love it.
Oh, God, yeah. There was a wonderful gentleman right over there by the name of Jerry. Not me, by the way. Jerome, actually.
Okay.
And he was in the front row. He said he wanted to stand up and give a standing ovation, but he was too afraid because no one else was standing.
Well, I stand because I get too nervous. But but I wanted people to do that, but sometimes people get afraid.
Yeah.
And that's okay, but they should, because you want them to sing at the end.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my gosh. Did you hear the hand clapping? Oh, my God. They loved it. They loved it.
Yep. And there's nobody there. You see people when you're watching, because I'm way in the back, and you can see that everyone's shoulders are going and heads are going. Yep. It's good.
But congratulations on a great show.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Very successful performance. Are you a director?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. I think you are in the book, right?
Yes.
Wonderful. So I enjoy so much.
You too. Thank you.
Very, very pleased. So wonderful.
You liked it? You liked this show?
Very much, very much. I enjoyed every song, every actor, actress performance.
Were you
wonderful.
Along?
Sometimes. At least that top, right?
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you so much for coming out.
Tell your friends to come on out.
So there you have it, people. You have to go see West Valley Light Opera's Breaking Up Is Hard to Do. It runs weekends in July, and you have just 2 more weekends to catch it, so I suggest you get right on that. I'll have links in the show notes for you. I love this number, but I'm sad to say that I do not know who the artist is. You see, I was given a CD at the end of West Side Story's run by Enclair, that had all this gorgeous, gorgeous music, but there was no track listing, so I have no idea who any of the artists are on that CD, but I love it so much, and I listen to it often. But that was one of the songs from it. It's titled track number 15 to me. But I wanted to stop and take a moment now that we're at the end of episode 9, and I was thinking back, and as I'm recording this Eniatic episode, I'm thinking back to my original intent, which was to promote all of the arts. I've noticed that in the last 8 episodes, which was basically all of them, there were only 2 or 3 segments that differed from the rest, which was all about theater. So it was very theater heavy. And I feel like I should return to my original root idea, which would be to extend the podcast to nearly 45 minutes, step away from the free-flow style format to something more consistent, especially when it comes to interviews, and improve the quality of rehearsal updates with video as well as pictures and audio, and to maintain constant communication with as many companies so that way I can give you a one-stop shop style look at where in their processes these companies are regarding particular projects. In addition to all of that, I think I'd like to give the blog a facelift and add a glossary for many of the terms used in the different fields. Keeping that one-stop shop idea in mind, I also want to scour Craigslist and Artsopolis, random emails, and as many blogs as I can in addition to the trades to let you know about events as well as when someone needs something, like an artist needing a $5 easel, for example. There will have to be obviously more tabs in the site. Now, I'm just thinking out loud here, but I think the fine art, music, movies, and theater will have their own pages so that if there's something that you are only interested in, such as fine art, you don't have to dig through all the theater stuff. So that's the plan for the blog and the podcast. Now, I need your help. I'm uncertain on how I should approach talking about these topics. You see, I'm all about helping shows sell more tickets and helping artists to sell their paintings and promote them in as much of a positive light as I can, because I truly do love all the arts. But to say that everything is fantastic would be at best ineffective and at worst disastrous for the site and for any chance that I would have at a positive reputation. Now, I would love to be objective and give you both sides of the coin, but would that create bad blood between myself and the people I would like to help? Huh. So my dear, dear trusted listener, whoever you may be, I would love your feedback. Nay, I can't exist without your feedback. So please send me some comments, even if it's negative. After all, how else can I give you the information that you need? This is just like theater. This website and podcast are a collaborative effort. I can't provide an experience for you if I am talking about things you aren't even interested in. So that is my call, my challenge to you, to let me know what I can do for you to make this a better experience. Now, seeing as the day grows late and the sun is going down, I think I'm going to wrap this up, and I will finish it off by actually creating a reprise to that Shakespearean pie and giving you the tail end of that song that's actually slowed down that I chopped off from earlier, because it's kind of a long song, but if it's in 2 pieces, it's not so bad. So for all my friends who have performances, who have showings, auditions, gigs, break a leg. For everyone else, go out, support your local theaters, support your museums, or even go see a school production and support the younger generation and help them to keep going. My name is Jerry, and I am the activist. Until next time.
To be or choose oppositely, are we tougher if we suffer indefatigably? Or take up arms against a turbulent sea of the troubles fortune slinging at me? Screw it, let's go watch some TV. We were thinking to be or to not freaking be. That's the question we're obsessing about interminably. But as for us, the answer's clear not to be caught in this Shakespearean tragedy.